I did it. I got through all those readings. And this year it's pretty easy to do the Easter Vigil. Don't have any other duties really extra, so it's not too bad. So happy Easter. We made it to Easter. It's a beautiful time and a beautiful day. A great day. Despite all the things that are occurring in the world around us, we see lots of things happening that are out of our control, but Easter has still come. Perhaps it's a good thing for us to see how good we have had it. We've had a disruption in our normal lives, but Easter has come nonetheless. How many Easters have come in times when darkness seemed to rule the earth? Persecution, imprisonments, different things that keep us down, civil disruption, war. Not even a pandemic has halted Easter's coming in the past, and neither will it today. In the prisons of the Roman Colosseum, in the midst of the Black Death, during the days of unrest that enmeshed Christian Europe following the Reformation, in the concentration camps of the Nazis, in the gulags of the Soviet Siberia, all of these places, and in all those times, Easter came and was celebrated. It's a bit like the Grinch who stole Christmas, isn't it? You can take away all the trappings, you can take away all the normal practices and traditions, and yet the day still comes. Still comes. How frustrated must the devil be, huh? He, again, is foiled. He tried to keep Easter from happening 2,000 years ago, and he does so again today. He still tries to get us to focus on different things, to make us forget, to lose hope. He attempts to draw our attention to what may cause us to fear, but Easter still comes. He stirred up the world against our Lord, and he thought he had won a great victory. But instead, Christ plucked from Satan's grasp the souls of those he had thought were his own. While the world has put everything on hold, the church does not put Easter on hold. It's here. We still celebrate it. Though our circumstances are different than what we might prefer, and yet, even with the setbacks that we've experienced, the Lord has won our salvation, and we can taste its fruit no matter where we find ourselves. We have heard in the scriptures of this evening the recollection of the work of creation. We have sampled the covenants which the Lord entrusted to us and entered into with us. We have heard the voices of the prophets who spoke in times when the people of God were troubled as they faced their enemies, exile, the loss of their place of worship, all the tragedies that befell them, even the threatening of their culture at times. And when they had gone astray, God did not abandon them. This litany of events recalls that until Christ came and accomplished the deed of redemption, until that moment, the tale of humanity was one that was had few moments of glory. It was pretty dark. Not a lot of greatness there. Ours is more of a history of lamentations, a train of sad events. And they would have ended in darkness. But instead, because of these events which we celebrate tonight, events we experience again, because of what Christ has done, ours is no longer a sad tale of woe. It has been changed into one that is filled with hope. Now we can be united to Christ and his fate. To be sure, we still have the freedom to continue towards the darkness which would otherwise have been our destiny, but no longer are we stuck in that trajectory. We can accept the gift which God intends for us. Eternal life with him. Divinization, becoming like God. To experience the joy that ought to be ours this night, it's important, I think, that we understand fully and realize what was our fate prior to God's intervention in our lives. So yesterday we contemplated the cross, the sorrow of the cross, our own need to bear the cross in our lives. And today, we are drawn into the glory of the resurrection. In practical terms, this means we are no longer bound for hell, but instead the Lord has made a path for us to follow him towards heaven. It means we need no longer fear death, even if we have coronavirus or different things floating around in our world, all the things that challenge us at times. For if we have received baptism and we live in union with our Lord, then we live in a new reality. We have become a new creation. In times such as these, where there is a great deal of uncertainty about our earthly existence and many things, when we are facing death, we can find comfort in what God has done for us. We can and we should seek happiness here and now in this life. It's a good thing to seek, a good thing to strive for. We're meant to. But Easter, which celebrates Christ's victory over death and sin, allows us to continue from this life into the next and promises a happiness and a contentment that we cannot find here. So when we experience suffering and injustice, wrong of any kind, when we are afraid, we can remember that everything we experience now is merely the proving grounds for what our true call is, the life of grace, communion with God and with one another, the life of heaven. That's our destiny. That's where we're called to go now. We are definitely in an unusual time. I keep saying that to different people. It's unusual times, isn't it? Yep, it's really strange. Yep. Mm-hmm. I have that conversation a few times a day at least. To suspend the public celebration of the Mass is a grave decision. But just as Jesus' death and burial was a temporary situation, this too shall pass. It may help us to recognize how great a gift the Eucharist really is. What a beautiful thing our Catholic faith is. If you hunger for the return of the Mass, that's a sign that you have a true relationship with our Lord. It points to some sort of dependence. Now, some may scoff at that, think it's a sign of weakness to depend on somebody else other than ourselves, especially on God, who we can't see. However, for us, it is a sign and a realization that we have progressed in our relationship with God, that we have come close to him. Enough so that the absence of the Mass is a felt thing, it's a felt reality, that we want it back, we want to come back to it. That's a beautiful thing to know and experience, a longing for Christ and the Eucharist, the source and summit of our faith. If all of our activities have been stripped away and all the busyness of our lives have been brought to a standstill, and our greatest hunger in that is to return to the busyness and distraction, maybe that tells us something, that we have some work to do with regard to rightly ordering our lives when it comes to our relationship with God. If, on the other hand, this time of isolation and change in our normal lives has helped us clarify what really brings us life and what sustains us, that's a real grace. That's a real benefit. I hope it has made you more aware of your desire for communion with God. If not, why not? We should ponder that. Why not? Why don't I desire that more? Why am I content to be away from the Mass, away from Christ, away from the sacraments? Why is it that I'm content to do that? If I can be apart from my beloved for this long and not be bothered by it, maybe it indicates that I'm not as close to the Lord as I thought I was. Perhaps you are now aware of something missing from your life. Jesus invites us to come and enter more deeply into his life. Easter is a real event, and we participate in it by living our lives in union with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Easter isn't just a day or a season. It's a way of life. I know people say that a lot about a lot of things, you know. Oh, it's a way of life, but I really mean it. It is a way of life. Easter is a way of life. A way of living the glory of the resurrection, a way of being unafraid, a way of living this life as a stepping stone towards the next. One that makes our daily lives more rich, more alive, more authentic. So brothers and sisters, let's take joy in once again proclaiming the resurrection. Christ is risen. He is truly risen.